From the Financial Times in London, I'm James King and this is FT News. Even among the ranks of China's self-made billionaires, Wu Xiaohui, chairman of Anban, a private insurer, was a shooting star. His company grew so quickly that industry experts were sometimes at a loss to comprehend his business model. Then he hit the overseas acquisition trail, becoming a standard bearer for China's outward embrace and completing more than a dozen deals worth a total of $17 billion since late 2014. But this week, the star came back to earth. Mr. Wu was detained as the Communist Party's anti-corruption authorities started to comb through his company's books. Joining me on the line from Beijing to discuss Mr. Wu and what his apparent fall from grace may mean for Chinese acquisitions overseas is Lucy Hornby, our Beijing Deputy Bureau Chief. Welcome, Lucy. Let me first turn to Mr. Wu's detention. What do we know about it? Is this really the end of the road for him?
Well, not necessarily. There have been senior business people and also senior officials who've been briefly detained and then let go again. It's noteworthy that while the independent Chinese press and the overseas press have reported his detention, the official Chinese press has not yet confirmed it.
Right, okay. So it's kind of a watching brief at the moment. We just don't know which way this is going to pan out, I suppose.
It could go either way, but I think the bets of most people would be that Mr. Wu is pretty permanently in the state's hands, and the next step of the game is to see what happens with his company.
And turning to his extraordinary career as a businessman, how was he able to rise to such prominence so quickly?
Well, that's one of the questions about him and one of the signs of trouble, perhaps. One idea that made many people think there may be sort of darker explanations at work. No one had really heard of him about 10 years ago when he first started an auto insurance business. He really burst on the international scene when he bought the Waldorf Astoria. That was about $2 billion. Meanwhile, within China, he began engaging in some very high-profile takeovers of or share buys of a Chinese private bank, a wind power company, and a few other private companies that really raised eyebrows here.
And does he have sort of special connections, or was he just an extremely good business person?
Well, he's let it be known that he's married to the granddaughter of Deng Xiaoping, who was, of course, the architect of China's reforms. Rumor on the street has it, though, that the Deng family never really embraced him. And so it's unclear whether it was a lot of posing by him or whether he had other backers. And that's one of the mysteries that we're trying to resolve here at the FT.
Right. And he's gone on this overseas acquisition trail, as I mentioned. Do you think these acquisitions are going to come under pressure now that he is in detention and possibly there's a cloud hanging over his future?
Right. Well, that's one of the big questions. Now, Mr. Wu had a very small management team. He was primarily concerned with acquiring assets, but there was very little management of those assets. Most of them have been acquired very recently. So in many ways, those assets are still not very changed, let's say, from the way he acquired them. That could mean they could be spun to other Chinese SOEs. They could remain part of an Anbang that was slightly restructured with or without him, or they could be sold again. That's one of the big questions we just don't know. And of course, if Mr. Wu reappears from detention, then we would assume that all the assets would stay with the Anbang company.
And we've seen really very impressive outward embrace of Chinese corporations kind of zooming ahead last year. I think China became the biggest outward acquirer of any country last year. Does this type of issue with Mr. Wu and Anbang suggest that the target companies of Chinese acquirers should be more cautious in the future, do you think?
Well, I think they should. Always when you're dealing with China, you know, excessive due diligence is very, very important. And far too often, companies in the West or bankers in the West don't really engage in that, and tears result. It's also true, though, that the Chinese companies come into the market and they're willing to pay a lot of money. And so many management firms simply say, well, my duty is to sell to the highest bidder, and so therefore I've fulfilled that duty. So it does depend a bit on what your future vision of your company is, and then also whether you're getting cash or debt or shares in return for selling your asset.
I mean, What typically is the kind of disclosure attitude of companies such as Ambang as they go on their buying sprees abroad? I mean, are there areas there that might raise concerns?
Ambang has been particularly poor on disclosure, and it's actually seen quite a few deals fall through because it wasn't very forthcoming about who actually owned its shares. Internally, the company has a lot of shell companies holding it together. Those shell companies have been shown by media reports in many cases to be held by relatives of Mr. Wu. Some of those relatives are poor farmers, and so the question is whether Mr. Wu in fact held the whole thing, or whether those the individual IDs of those poor farmers were being used to hide other people's ownership. Either way, it was certainly very murky.
Lucy, thank you very much.